Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Seek Wisdom. Today is Sunday, June 20th, and I would like to say happy Fet Hers Day and happy Father's Day to all the fathers and Fet Hers out there. Today I have a very, very, very special guest to present to y'all, none other than Mommy Saru. She has been a huge inspiration to me and my research and my studies, as I'm sure she's been a huge inspiration to all of the sisters and some of the brothers out there who are listening to this program. So without further ado, well, before I bring her on, let me go ahead and get some of the information out of the way. Our email address here at Black Womb Universe is blackwomb@divinechemistry.com. Chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. And our phone number, we can be reached at 1-877-522-2653 at extension 5. and our temple website, I'm getting tongue-tied, is blackwombniverse.com. And we also have a website for anyone who just wants to get general information about Black Wombniverse. That is blackwombniverse.webs, and that's webs.com. All right, now that I have gotten those things out of taken care of, I'm going to go ahead and open up Mommy Sarood's line. Peace and blessings, Mommy Sarood. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing, Tara?
I'm great now that I've got you on the line.
Thank you.
Just want to say congratulations again on your graduation and your completion of your architecture studies, the first anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, it's a long journey.
Yes, I know it has. Yeah, we've been trying to get you on the air for a while, but, you know, with your studies and everything, I can understand, you know, and I didn't want to stand in the way of, you know, of God herself getting her architecture thing on.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you.
And that song that I played as an introduction, it is I Am Here by Jill Scott, and I thought that was the perfect song as an introduction for Mommy Sarood today. Because her studies into architecture definitely shows that God is still here. So that was a perfect song to introduce you and everything. So let's go ahead, and I can't imagine that anyone who listens to this show does not know who you are. But, you know, for the record and for those new listeners that we have, could you give a brief introduction? You know, let us know who you are and, you know, how you came to be in the path that you're on in terms of your goddess studies. We're going to deal with that, you know, just a brief explanation of that, and we'll get into more detail later.
Okay. Well, I am Sarood, but my whole name is Ansi Samud Kesma'a Sarood, and I have been a devotee of goddess since around, probably since birth, but didn't know it, but really came into the consciousness when I was somewhere around 98, 96, somewhere in there, on forward, because it was a slow progression for me to really wrap my hands around it. But so I'm from St. Louis, and I have lived in St. Louis in Louisiana and Tennessee. I am back here in St. Louis. And how I got into goddess studies?
Yes, how you got into goddess studies.
All right. Mainly through studying African history was my entry when I was, I graduated from Southern University many years ago, and I had met my ex-husband there, and he had challenged me on my history and called me a fake Jake Black girl, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And so from there, you know, he put books in my hand, and, you know, so that was a divine spark right there. And I started learning about my history and our history, and then really it's world history. And I then, you know, just like many people, many women and many men come to the conclusion that half of the story is missing, you know, as you're on that journey and you begin to question why women aren't, you know, really spoken about a lot. You will hear some queen names. And, you know, I guess it's up to you. Some people will start right there and start researching the queens. Unfortunately, I did not. And I just kept reading Black history. And so after about 10 years of that and learning that, I started to, you know, like I said, wonder about the woman. And then I started pursuing her. And it, of course, led me to the study of many things. You know, of course, I was already on the health path, and I had been selling herbs for years, many of the healing modalities that are out there. I had also studied massage therapy and had become a massage therapist. But I was still looking and searching for myself, and even before that, I was just going through a lot of stresses in my life, and I had, you know, a lot of panic attacks and stress attacks and things like that, and didn't really understand what was going on with me. And really what it was, astrologically, I was going through my Saturn return. And so I really started, a lot of things started shaking up in my life. and a lot of things that were no longer true didn't serve me any longer, and so I needed to find my truth. And that's really how it began for me.
All right. Now, I noticed that in your studies that you kind of come through the Eastern Hindu or Vedic side of things. Could you give us a little bit of background on that and what you found within that culture that that may have sparked more of an interest in the Vedic side of things or coming into goddess that way?
Well, I really came in through the Madhunatar, and then I used to do use their oracle system as well, doing readings, and had an incarnation objective done on myself and found out I was in the house of Heteru. But I should have known that because I am a Libra and have a Taurus moon, so I've got that double Venus thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I, you know, came really from that side because, of course, with studying your African history, you're going to come to the Madhunatar. And then I really was looking for more stories, though, about women in the form of God. And I ended up in India. And then I also noticed whether I was reading Ilanya Van Zandt or whether I was reading Wayne Dyer or listening to these people or, you know, whoever. Most people came up with Sanskrit words to describe things that were not able to be described in the Western culture. And I'm sure they were being described. We just didn't use Sanskrit terminology. But you would find a lot of Sanskrit. And I already, you know, knowing that that's from India, I just kind of decided, well, and then also knowing that, you know, the nations that came up out of Ethiopia were, you know, the great nations of Egypt and the countries of India, which and parts of Pakistan. But the whole world, of course, we know that was all African. But even though it wasn't called that. But, you know, so knowing that those two nations, I knew that there was a strong parallel in those nations. And so I went over to the Indian side because it seemed to have more information on God in her feminine form. So I went there, you know, and not literally, but just kind of mentally. And then around 2000, I had opened up a metaphysical store, and the Hare Krishnas came into my store chanting. And then I, another sister who's here in St. Louis, which a lot of people know, she goes by the name of Yele, had, and I know her as Sarita Mayat. My aunt had come into the store, and she was always sharing information, bringing in. She was the first person that told me where to get my metaphysical books when I wanted to open up the store. She told me who to contact, you know, which vendors to use. I mean, just always been supportive, a wealth of information. And so she came into the store, and she had gotten her Vedic chart performed, and was stressing that me and my son's father Osiris go down there, and check that out as well. So we went down to the temple and to the Hare Krishna temple here in St. Louis, and we met the Vedic astrologer who was also a student at the time. He was from a third generation of Vedic astrologers. And he performed our charts, and that's pretty much how I came onto the goddess side because the Hare Krishnas study Radha, Radharani, and Krishna. That's the divine couple. So I learned more about the Hindu goddesses like Radha and learned that her expansion became all the other expansions, which we know as Durga and Kali and so forth. Now, some people would argue that Kali is older than Radha, but it, you know, we have to remember that time is kind of in a circle, you know. And when deities decide to come on the planet, they will take many forms, many divine forms. You know, so I got into it that way and started learning and being around people who were open to, just like the people in our Source Set Society, when I would go to their programs, people who were open to that feminine energy is really a great place, you know, to cultivate and nurture your seeds. You know, even if you're not heavily entrenched in all of their traditions, you know.
All right, now, to today's show is entitled Mommy Sarood, Architect for the Great Cosmic Mother Goddess. So, with that being said, I want to get into some of your background in architecture. And my first question is, goddess research that influenced your study, and what did you come across that made you so interested in architecture?
When I was a little girl, my mom kept Better Homes and Garden magazines in the house. My mother always had a love for beauty, and she played a lot of music. I grew up listening to a lot of music. I'm an only child, and so music was a huge part of my life. And with the magazines and things like that, the art that was around my home really got me interested in the beauty of home and how the buildings went together, and then the vibrations that one received when they looked at those buildings. And then I, you know, once I began to drive around, I mean, I would notice buildings when I was, you know, riding along as a kid, but I wasn't really fascinated. I would just look at them, you know, just like anybody else. You're just looking at what you're passing by, you know. And then lost my train of thought. Anyway, so I'm looking at the houses and then and buildings, and then I start to feel the energy of the houses and buildings as I get older, and as I, you know, become a driver myself, and I'm looking at, you know, one of my pastimes would be to drive around at night and look at houses and buildings, and for some reason I liked viewing them at night. So I was already starting to work with the nighttime then and didn't realize it. And I would just, you know, look at them just at face value. I did not associate them with metaphysics until I came into the knowledge of metaphysics through studying African, really through studying health is kind of how I came into metaphysics. And so architecture for me has been a way of restoring the mystery schools, part of the mystery schools are for goddess, because her modalities branch off in so many facets of art. And so I would, so that's kind of how I got into it. Maybe I was, you know, channeling some Sheshet energy, I don't know. You know, I'm one of those people that argue that Imhotep had a lot of feminine energy as well. And sometimes I say it was a woman because I always find pictures, statues of them with breasts. But anyway, that's another subject. So I, you know, I'm attracted. And then the other thing, the other side, the metaphysical side would be in my astrological chart, in my fourth house, which is the house of the mother, I have two planets in there. And wherever you have, you know, planets associated in those houses, you're either spending a lot of time in those houses. And if you don't have planets in a house, you may be chasing after what that house represents, it seems to me. And so I'm just heavily steeped in land. I have an attraction to nature and land, flowers and animals and all those, you know, I came to the realization years ago that we live outside, and I talk about this to people all the time, and they look at me, you know, they don't really understand what I'm saying, and I really, really feel that we live outside and we need to know how to flow with nature. And women, of course, as well as men, need to know how to tap into their side of themselves and, you know, recognize what nature is for them. So that's, you know, that just growing up looking at buildings. And then it was after my store closed down, I kind of had an identity crisis trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? So I, you know, have been doing many readings. We had an African African traditional religious priestess who would come to town in St. Louis, and I would get readings from her. She was Yoruba from time to time, you know, a couple times a year. And then one time she was giving me a reading, and she said, you know what, you know, for the things that you want to do, which we weren't discussing, and she didn't discuss at that time. She just said, you need your tools. You need to gather your tools. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And I said, well, you know, so I, of course I meditated on that for a while, and then I had a Vedic astrologer do my my chart, and he kept emphasizing that my Venus was very strong and also that I needed to pursue art and the art in terms of it could be a gallery or music or whatever. And then I needed to look at seriously at land. And I already knew I had an attraction to land. So I began to, you know, just contemplate what that meant. He also told me in my chart that I had a heavy ability to deal with mechanics. And when I had grown up, my mom used to always tell me that she wanted me to be an engineer. But I didn't know any engineers, and I didn't know anyone who did engineering. And so I thought, honestly, that she was talking about driving a train. And it took me a long time before I really realized what she was talking about. I had graduated from school, really. I didn't investigate it. I was not really sure. I just wanted to go to college and enjoy myself, honestly, at that time. And so I pursued business management. But the architecture stayed in my mind while I was pursuing business management. I thought about architecture, but at the time the funding was cut off at the school. But there were too many schools in Louisiana at the time that had an architecture program, so the state was doing a budget cut, and so Southern lost its funding for architecture, and I took that as a sign that I wasn't supposed to do architecture. But I, you know, knowing what I know now, I would not have been able to complete at that time because I wasn't serious enough as a student to do architecture because it is a heavy study. So I left it at that point, but I still kept driving around looking at houses for about 20 years. I'm telling my age now. And then when I started really putting the tools that she talked about in the reading, because I really trust and believe in all, and then I listened to what my chart was saying. And I one day I said, well, it's got to be architecture. That's, you know, was planted years ago, and I just didn't pursue it. Maybe I should pursue it. Then I started thinking about my age and going, oh, my goodness, you know, do I really want to do this at this age? It's such a long practice. And like you said at the beginning of the broadcast, you know, this I just have completed the first leg. I still have to get a master's, and I still have to work 3 years after the master's before I can even sit for the exam. So it's a long process, but so that's how I kind of got into architecture. And then as I'm studying the goddess information as well, I already know that, you know, we're global, we are worldwide, that tradition, and so I started contemplating some of those sites. You know, what could those sites look like, and what did those buildings look like, and, you know, that type of stuff. Are you interested in architecture, Tara?
I have a lot of interest, but I do share a love of, you know, designs and buildings and the layout of land. So, you know, I do have some interest in it. I don't know if I'm as dedicated in that arena as you are, but I am very interested. I love looking at houses and driving around different neighborhoods and looking at landscape and things of that nature. I do.
The same thing I did. Yeah. You know, that's you know, it's the stuff that's natural that you're naturally attracted to that, you know, you just do on your own because you like to do it. You know, that's how it kind of was for me. So, you know, I decided to go to architecture school, and where I am, there are only two schools here. We have Rankin Technical College, has a 4-year bachelor's program, and then we have Washington University. And many people know that Washington University is an Ivy League school, up there with Harvard and Princeton and Yale and all that, and it has a price tag attached to it. So I decided to do the 4-year program at Rankin, which had a 100-year tradition, and it has a huge reputation here in St. Louis. And actually, I hear internationally, but I don't know that. So, you know, then I you know, thought about the sites and what they could look like. And then when I started taking architectural history courses, is when I started to find out that, you know, many of the buildings are mimicking the woman's body.
Mm. And see, that was my next question: goddess and architecture. Can you get into that? How how did you come about finding that those buildings were mimicking the goddess?
Just by looking at the plan view, or what's called a bird's eye view, of the building. And at first, I have to admit, at first when I looked at them, I just saw them as, you know, what they were, but I did not see them necessarily as women, but I was looking for it. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of had two dichotomies going on there. But I was looking for her, looking for myself, you know, how we do it. And then I started to, you know, see her, her forms, her arms, her hair, her afros, her ovaries, her hips, her breast, her womb, her child, you know, in the building themselves. And so I said, wow, this is amazing. Of course, that's not what I was learning in class, but that's what I started to see. And then I really couldn't contain myself in class. Sometimes I would just blurt out, you know, what was going on or what I was feeling. And like I said before on another broadcast, my instructor was a female, and she encouraged any information really on history and art and architecture, because that's her passion as well. And so eventually, because of my remarks at the end of the class, sometimes she was satisfied for me to not rebut what she said, but to add on to what she had said, or give my interpretation of what I saw as it related to women. And then the other thing that came about as I studied history, Western civilization, was that most of the time when women are mentioned, their oppression was mentioned. So when I was using this book called The Western Heritage, which was the Western Civilization book, so we had to take architectural history courses, and we also had to take history courses as well, because, you know, architecture is steeped in history. So then those books, when they mentioned women, it just talked about our oppression and how we were subdued. And I went, wow, you know, they took time in the beginning of the intro to say they would be mentioning women, and I'm thinking we're going to see some accomplishments, but we're just basically seeing women's oppression. So the architecture, what I came to understand with the architecture is not just buildings. It is glasses and silverware and pottery, and it's building materials. It's sculpture. It's more than what we think of as architecture. We think of just buildings. Textiles, rugs, whatever, that's all architecture. And so I also, you know, of course, by studying goddess for many years, started to look at her designs and looking for them in the buildings, and I started finding them. In the buildings, for instance, the column, and I sent you a picture of that poster that I did for my capstone, the column, at the top of the columns, the capitals, you know, Egypt, and, you know, Hathor is on the top of those columns. And what did that mean for those people? You know, why? Why would you put the woman's head on top of the column? And then as I went back and you know, I kind of knew that pillars were women from studies of religion. You know, a lot of the pillars. Then in the Bible, they talk about all the pillars that got knocked down and you know, all the civilizations that they were attacking and subduing, and how it was important to ransack their architectural elements and to take their architectural elements and their any other treasures that they had. And so then, of course, coming to find out that, you know, these were matriarchal societies, the majority of them were. Then, of course, the study of architecture became more serious, and it meant more than her body. It meant the restoration of her sciences. And so that's kind of how I came into it. But, you know, before you study the buildings, you got to study the land. And the mountains were the first form of architecture for me, because it's the womb, you know, it's the pregnant belly. of the earth. And the first things kind of that we were erecting were shaped like wombs, you know. And, you know, we did a lot of cave work, and a lot of worship took place in caves. And so, you know, I'm learning all these things. You know, my architectural history and my study of matriarchy went side by side. You know, they merged and married at that point. And so I would, when I would bring in my history book, I also had about four or five goddess books with me, too, in class. And I spread them out, you know, and I'd look while I'm sitting there listening and taking notes, you know, I'm looking for these images. And so when I'm finding them, you know, I shared them with the class, and, you know, I don't think that they were really interested. But I just had to get it out. And so then you got the mountains, and then, you know, why are the flowers and, the, you know, all the motifs and decorations that we see on buildings, what is all that about, you know? And so I eventually learned, or just came to the conclusion, that after women were no more the practitioners of architecture and a lot of art, they were, but they were anonymous, and it's not written about. They were always there side by side. But the lost my train of thought, Tara. What did I say right before that?
The goddess in architecture. The different.
Yeah, I know that.
Probably you was right. Okay. It's all right.
But
it'll come back.
It's all good. It's all good.
You don't lose it. It'll come back around during the conversation.
So the mountains, I'm just going to say that, you know, the mountains, you know, are something we need to really look at, because a lot of ritual and worship took place on mountains. And, you know, you even saw Moses on the mountain, you know, dealing with Shekinah. And so that is a very sacred, and today we still honor mountains and mounds and things like that, you know. So when we started to build, when humanity started to build, it's our nature, of course, and we're just starting to get back to that. It's called now biomimicry. But, you know, so just mimicking, understanding how architecture mimics women and her technologies. And then on the flip side, you know, even as it became more seen as a male-oriented profession, it gave men an opportunity to do what women had been doing, and that was creating. And so when you look at it from kind of architecture with men, from a kind of esoteric perspective, you see that they have an opportunity to conceive the building or whatever it is that they're creating. You know, you're going through that cycle, that birthing cycle, and you're creating the thoughts and the visions of what you want to do. And then, you know, when you're working on it, that's the gestation, you know, you're working on the plans or however you're going to, you know, conceptualize it and bring it forth. And then, of course, you get your plans or whatever, however you're going to bring it forth. And then you birth it. And when you birth it, everybody sees it, you know. And so that is how men began to mimic women and her arts, was to practice architecture as well.
All right. Now, I'm looking at your capstone poster here.
Okay.
Or your collage. And so, of course, naturally, I have some questions or some things I want you to speak on. Let's go to the thing that I find most interesting that I think a lot of people need to study. With everything on here, everyone needs to study, so I can't just pick out one thing, but I'll touch on a few. The goddess of architecture, Seishet, or Sheru.
Okay.
Could you speak about her for a moment and give us some information about her?
Okay. I have to say that my birth name is Sherry. So my mama,
the lady builders.
Yeah. And you know how it is. You know when you reading and studying about the great mother and you start finding yourself in her, you be like, you know, you really
you know
get to tripping
you
out.
Know my name is.
You know, so hello. You know, so I, you know, when I saw that, you know, I had run across it already on the Vedic side, Shishet, mm-hmm. in a sense, with the Shri, you know. And then
goddess as well. So when I found some of the information out and I'm listening to what you're saying there, I'm like, wow.
Mhm. So Shishet is many things, you know. She was the, of course, the patron of architecture. She's the goddess of the libraries, and she's over mathematics, and she's over, oh gosh, there's so many things that she's over. But many of the arts that we come to know them, she was really over them. She was the patron, the one to look to, the one who gave inspiration, the muse, you know what I'm saying, with that. And so she, having all those, she's the first one that stretches the cord. You know, they talk about the stretching of the cord. I think a lot of the things that we know her by are Masonic symbols today, you know, in rituals under Masonry, but or under the Masonic. So, but, you know, just having, she's, okay, so, you know, the sacred, you know, the geometry, you know, she's mother of geometry, and she's got the seven-pointed star over her head, which is the rosette, which you eventually see in the Catholic, when Christianity comes aboard, and you see the stained glass windows, the rosettes and all that, you know, that's coming from Shishet, you know. So, you know, it's just so much architecture that's devoted to goddess, you know, to women. It's just, you know, it just seemed like a natural thing, for real. But, so that's Shishet. I mean, we know her pictures on the Seti I temple around 3200 BCE. Of course, we know she's already immortalized on the stone. She's primal, you know.
Thing I'm going to touch on next, I mean, you touched on it just a moment ago, Freemasonry being a goddess, you know, Freemasonry is goddess mysteries. Can you touch on that and expand a bit on that?
Well, you know, like I said, some of the rituals that they do, I'm imagining, I don't read a lot about the Masonics, really, Masonry, because I know that it's just a spinoff of goddess. I just been studying goddess. But I do know that, you know, a lot of their emblems that they use go back to women and their in the vaginal area, you know, the Yoni Puja. And so I know that they have that Omfe as well, which is that beehive look at your on their motif, and it goes back to Mammy Wada in the Omfe. You know, her implements, her elements, you know, that we know her by. So we know that we're tying that back to, you know, the ancient mysteries, you know, all the way back when it was, you know, strictly an elemental dealing, you know, dealing with the elements, the four elements, the five elements, the six elements. You know, we don't really know how many elements there are. We
right.
think we do.
We think we know everything. There's a whole lot.
Yeah. So, but Freemasonry, you know, a lot of the artists entered, you know, Freemasonry used to be men and women, and a lot of the artists were able to continue to practice their worship of goddess through the architectural elements. And so they, you know, when they were being commissioned to put up whatever they were putting up, the people who were, you know, commissioning them to do certain things didn't necessarily know the science of mother. This is I'm speaking at times when we're, now we're like at the Renaissance era when I'm speaking. We're really way far when I'm talking like this. But so, you know, we just had people had an opportunity to continue to put her elements in the architecture. And so they would, you know, as time went on and more oppression happened in the arts and all of that, and oppression of goddess tradition, then they can sneak it in and put her up there and still be worshiping her, and nobody in the patriarchs didn't know it. You know, but the patriarchs were the first to adopt her, images anyway. So it's kind of a dichotomy there. But that's all I really know about Freemasonry.
Okay. That's just enough to get someone on their studies if they're very interested. Let me see. You mentioned the columns. So let's see. Katal Hayuk.
Okay, Katal Hayuk. Mesopotamian area. This is where like Iraq and Iran and all that is. Mm-hmm. And so, when they started excavating that area, they're putting that place about 11,000 BCE. So about 13,000 years ago, that civilization, they're saying, was, you know, flourishing and building and started to domesticate at that time because they were nomadic, of course, at first, just like everybody was. And then they began to, you know, do agriculture and all that. And so Katal Hayuk gives us an opportunity to see how goddess was worshipped 13,000 years ago. And we learned that goddess was worshipped in the home. Everybody had their altar in their home, you know, and there was not a church per se. Everybody did their worship in the house. And so her, you know, you see the bull horns and all that. You see a lot of the goddess symbology inside of everybody's home. And it was made kind of like a beehive in a way. There were, you had to climb up ladders to get in and go in through the roof. Like you eventually saw indigenous people did in the Pueblos when they were building. Katal Hayuk, you know, we see Lady and the Beast a lot. So we also get an opportunity to see women and their men and women. I always say women, but it's everybody, you know, at this point it's men and women and how they dealt with this matriarchal culture. And we're seeing that the animals are very much a part of the lives of the people. And you see her you see the woman and the animals and how, talking about our relationship to the animals. And, you know, when I was saying earlier that we're all really from outside, we need to really take a look at that and really develop our relationship with these animals again. And really, you know, a lot of people are doing that. You know, they know they have totems, you know, and, you know, they get it. But people really, really need to look at the first animal you see a day. You know, that's your totem for the day, you know. Or the one that keeps appearing over and over. Do squirrels keep showing up? Do you need to squirrel away some money? You know, what's going on here? You know, what magic is being brought to me through these animals? And that culture, definitely, because they flank their statues with the women with the animals, you know, one on each side, you know. So I know that the women and men at that time were communing more with the animals, and they were friends of the animals, you know.
Okay. All right, indeed. We definitely have to get back connected to nature. That's a definite. Now, I'm looking at something very interesting. The Vatican designed women's sacred mysteries. Could you touch on that? That's very interesting.
Well, what it is on one side, okay, so on the Vedic side, they have these pujas, Yani pujas, and when they worship Parvati and Shiva, they use this symbol of the woman with her legs closed, and then this phallic symbol, or some people call it also the embryo in the woman's pelvic region. And that way, you know, her legs are lateral and they're closed. And then you see that same image being copied all over the world, really. You'll start to see the arms. Some people call it the arms of goddess. On the outside of St. Peter's Cathedral, they call it the arms of goddess, and it's a flanking of columns going around and the kind of an elliptical circle. And then, so it's like a circle wooden piece of, not wooden, but this circle with this square attached to it. And in the middle of it, there's this little small column. Could be the phallic symbol, clitoris, baby, you know, depending on where you are, where history is at the time that they're erecting these images. So we know that most of the sacred sites were that the Christian churches, the early Christian churches were built on, were the sacred sites of Goddess. And so a lot of her foundation is still under those churches. You know, in the catacombs, we still have a lot of her altars and stuff are still there. So that's why, like you've been saying, it's important to go and visit these places and see with your own eyes what's going on. So these shapes are continued, they're mimicked. These shapes of the body is mimicked in our architecture. And it's mimicked when you look at the Vatican. When you look at it from a bird's eye view, you see the shape, the same shape. It's the same shape of Stonehenge, it's the same shape. It's all over. It's really all over. And so then you know that they're pointing the way, you know, the opening of the legs, the way.
It's just so much information I want to talk to you about. I don't know what to ask next. I feel like a kid in the candy store. Now, I want
I hear
to touch
you.
On, what did you say?
I said I hear you.
I want to touch on some of the, you know what, I'll save that for later. I'll ask you about this one, though, since it's mentioned on your capstone collage.
Okay.
Native American women built teepees. Could you touch on that and the book that you often refer when you touch on that particular topic?
Okay. The book that I found, which I shared with a lot of people, I think Kendra was the first person I shared it with, was from Teepees to Skyscraper. And you can get it on Amazon. But the teepees, you know, mimicking the womb once again. And I had a great lunch with Sarita Oyele not long ago, and we got on this conversation, and she shared, you know, I love talking to her because she's just a wealth of information, and
yeah.
She shared with me, because this wasn't even in the book, she shared with me how the poles were erected and that they were pointing to constellations in the sky. So we, you know, it just points to their cosmology being steeped in woman, because women were responsible for building all the teepees. So they built, and, you know, when you think about a teepee, you think about just your house, you know, your family's domicile, their dwelling, but we forget that these are villages. They're building and erecting these villages, and they're doing them by themselves. They had to do them alone. It was part of their rites of passage. They started off first building dog houses or animal houses, you know, shelters. So we knew to care for the animals, and they came along right with us with that architecture. And then after the women, the young girls learned how to build those small places to live in, then they were given the task of building as a rites of passage into womanhood. And then, of course, it also said she owned all the land. You know, once they became permanent, though. At this point, they're nomadic. They're nomadic at this point. Actually, they didn't think about owning the land. They really thought of it as a communal thing. But the erection of the temple home, same thing. They did do separate, at that point, they're starting to do separate worship and having temples built as well as their teepees. So they'd have the home teepees, and they'd have a large communal teepee built that probably all the women got together and built. And so the teepee is considered elegant architecture. When Western historians began to look at the teepee, that's what they called it, elegant architecture. Because of all the sustainable abilities that it brought, it allowed fresh air to circulate, and it also allowed you to be warm in the winter and cool in the summertime without air conditioning, you know. And so, and you could be very functional. You could cook inside of it. You didn't have to worry about burning it down. You know, it had a plan, you know, and it was a tradition. And so the women would build the communities.
Okay. Well, at this point, we're going to go on a brief break, brief water break or what have you, and we will be right back. I still have a lot of information we're going to get into, so everyone stay where you are, and we'll be right back. Listening to the Black Womaniverse live, and we are speaking with Mommy Sarood. All right, so we're going to get right back into what we were speaking about. I wanted you to maybe share some of the books that help you on your way in your studies. Goddess and or architecture.
Okay. For one of the, there's so many books, but one of the really easy books to kind of ease you into all this in terms of the study of the divine woman or divine feminine. And that's, there's one book called A Woman's Worth. It's by Marianne Williamson. And audio is a really good one if a person is like coming out of Christianity or some other religion and they're trying to, just kind of ease into it. That's a good one. But, after a while, you're going to be looking for yourself. So the first book of the Black Goddess is a great one, if you can get a copy. And then there's one called The Goddess Versus the Alphabet. And, of course, any astrology books because you're dealing with the mysteries again. I like love signs because I'm a Libra and I love love. But, that's a really good one when you're dealing with personalities of zodiacs that you come across, whether it be your children or your loved ones. When they say love signs, it doesn't have to be the person that you're in love with. It could be just people that you are dealing with. on a daily basis. Another good one is Lady and the Beast. I really like Lady and the Beast. Another one is Amulets of Goddess. These are books that I came across really early on, that except for Goddess versus the Alphabet, but early on in my studies. Another one is Flight of the Seventh Moon. That's a good one. Another one is Mary Magdalene and the Divine Feminine. Then there is Chalice and the Blade. One that a lot of people don't talk about that I love is Lost Goddesses of Early Greece.
I think I need to get that book.
Yeah. Charlene Spetnik, I think that's how you say her name. Spetnik, S-P. Huh?
Go ahead.
What'd you say?
Well, could you repeat the name of that book again?
Okay, Lost Goddesses of Early Greece, a collection of pre-Hellenic myths. Then there's Dark Mother and the Mammy Water books and the Sybil books. And there's a Candle Magic workbook that's really good. Then Moon Time is really good. We're dealing with the moon in astrology, and it gets you acclimated to working with the moon, you know, as it goes through each zodiac sign and what you do with your, how you heal your body according to the cycles of the moon each, you know, every 2.5 days when it changes. Women's Dictionary of Symbols. That's a great one. And then I like to throw in there, there's a book called Hush Hush that deals with women being sexually abused. Because, you know, a lot of women have been sexually abused, and so dealing with that as well. Because there's a lot of internal healing that takes place when you do this goddess work, you know. And so we're always working on ourselves, you know, even though we're doing the goddess study on the outside, it's really your internal tune-up that you're doing. And, you know, You Can Heal Your Life, which is a book by Louise Hay, is it's like a staple for many women who are owning their choices and not blaming other people, you know. And then there's one by Karen Tate called Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations. That's a gem. That's a gem. And then, of course, The Great Cosmic Mother. Y'all know how I am about The Great Cosmic Mother. I promoted that book for so long and so hard. I just got royalties. But, you know, it's so many books. I mean, really, you know, there's one called The Yogic Secrets of the Dark Goddess.
Yes, I need to get my hands on that one.
Yeah, that's, and then there's one, it's called Kiss of the Yogini. That one there, it's a good one to have, but you got to really understand what dark and light is and not get all hung up. You can really get angry in that book, but you have to be able to transcend some of the thoughts or some of the boxes that you put in some of these terms in.
Who is the author of Moon Time?
Moon Time, let's see. That is Johanna. The last name is spelled P-A-U-N-G-G-E-R, and Thomas Pope, P-O-P-P-E. Moon Time, The Art of Harmony with Nature and Lunar Cycles. And then Mysteries of the Dark Goddess, we know that's a great one. That's a really good one. And for those people who are, you know, coming from an Eastern perspective, you can, there's Durga Puja. You got the Devi Gita, D-E-V-I, Devi Gita. You can get the Hebrew Goddess. That's a really good one. You know, and that's a scholarly, historical walk right there. And then, you know, just depending on where you are, there are, like when I mentioned the Amulets and the Goddess, that's an oracle system. But it also has a booklet in there, and it goes through a lot of the sibyls. You know, which we call goddesses. And then there's a book called Isis Magic. You know, it's pricey, but it's worth it. And then there's Offering to Isis, which is by the same author, which is good. And then on the architecture side, you know, everything's green right now. You can read about green technology. It's good. I use A Global History of Architecture a lot because it was one of the few architectural books that had mentioned God's name. I counted them 45 times in the first 60 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, that was phenomenal because we kept changing books in our history course. Every semester was a different book. I'm like, what's going on? You know, but she was looking for something. I'm not sure if she ever found it because I think she's still changing books. But I like that one out of all the different architectural books that we use in terms of history. I like that one. And I really like it more because it's a conglomeration of different architects got together and wrote that book. So you have people coming from all different backgrounds, you know, to do that one. And I like that because it gives a better picture. Now, it's not very in-depth. You have to do your own research because they'll give, it's more like essays on different cultures, each one. So they're short essays, you know, may take you about 2 or 3 pages, and then they go to another culture like that. So if you're doing, you know, studying on one particular culture, you're going to have to go in more in-depth. You need more books? I got them.
I mean, I think that will get everyone started. If we have some time toward the end, I'm pretty sure we can give away some more books.
Okay.
But I have some other things I want to touch on. Now,
okay,
in terms of your study, let me rewind. I've noticed in my studying of Goddess that sometimes I get caught up on the timeline. You know, when they're saying Neolithic, Chalcolithic, and Paleolithic, can you explain to us what those time periods are and kind of help us out right there so we'll be good in terms of the timeline when we go back and study any part of archaeology or history?
Okay. So they start talking about Paleolithic time as the first time that you see in a lot of history books. Part of it is out of arrogance because they don't really want to go back further because it's all black people. But okay, so Paleolithic is about 40,000 BCE to about 11,000 BCE. And during that time, you're dealing, a lot of people are nomadic at that time. And then you do see there are structures at that time. You know, the earliest cultures and structures are in like the Indian area, of course, the African area, China, like that. So then you have Mesolithic. That's a middle. So Paleolithic is Old Stone Age. And then Mesolithic is Middle Stone Age, which we're dealing with now. Like, okay, so we're at 11,000 BCE going into, it overlaps between, Mesolithic overlaps between Paleolithic and Neolithic. So it's between those two areas. So it's like 11,000 through 6,000. Then you pick up Neolithic, which starts in there somewhere and leaves off right before Early Christianity, which is, early Christianity is established at 313 AD, but it starts earlier than that. So Neolithic would be after the Mesolithic time. So, you know, picking up somewhere about 5,000 BCE. Some people are going to argue this. One thing about timelines is everybody has kind of a different timeline. So they're not hard and fast rules. One school of thought says this and that. You know, that's how it goes. But Neolithic will take you to right before ancient, which is where they put ancient history, that they call that the Egyptian time. Right after Neolithic, you get your ancient. So Neolithic would stop you around 2500 BCE, so somewhere, you know, around 6,000 to 2,500 BCE. Then you're going to have ancient, what they call ancient history, which is 2,500 BCE. It takes you all the way up to the Christian era.
I said interesting.
Yeah, and then that's where you get your...
They consider the period or the Comedic period within the same time frame of Neolithic.
Yeah, because that may be, you know, or involved in those cultures.
Right.
Yeah. Which is cool. You know, it is what it is.
All right.
And then you go further. Okay, so then after that early Christianity, that's going to take you into, the Dark Ages, and then you're going to go through, and Renaissance is going to come out of that Dark Age. And that Dark Age, we know, is the time period when really the heavy suppression and the clank is locking down, really. That lockdown is really entrenched, and that's why they call it the Dark Age. Matriarchy has been usurped at this point. It is, you know, we got the witch hunts going on, you know, they're clamping down at this point. You know, a lot of the architecture that's being created are things to suppress women and the matriarchs. You know, you got a lot of implements that are being used to get people to stop practicing at this time. That help with your timeline?
Yeah.
You want dates? You need dates for the early Christian? Okay, we cool.
I mean, yeah. You know what? Go ahead and give me the dates for early Christian.
So that you're going to, of course, we know it starts really at the end of the ancient history, which puts us, what I guess, close to... Some people say it's going to put us right when we hit zero again, but, of course, I'm going to take it back and put it in there. It's going to be mixed in somewhere around 1,000 BCE and then really established, though, becomes an official religion for the Roman Empire at 313 A.D., when the books and the Bibles and all that stuff are coming out. 300 years after the first.
Nicene Council and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the Nicene Council that establishes that 313 date?
You said it did or didn't?
It did. And, you know, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, one thing is that we have to remember is that long-term planning that we've got to get back to. They teach us in that time period about long-term planning and how effective it is, because when they laid down plans at that time for Christianity, they would lay out plans well beyond their age. Meet past their death is what I'm saying. And they would make sure that those people coming after them would continue, it would, you know, the oaths and all that would continue with those plans. So we got to start thinking, you know, really be long-term planners again. We sometimes are thinking, my long-term plan is 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. We got to get some 150 and 200-year plans out there in order for things to shift the way they need to shift. But go ahead. What's your next question? I'm preaching there.
That's all right. We need to hear that. That's what the mommies are good for. One of the things, anyway. I wanted to touch on the importance of black women getting into certain fields of study, such as architecture and construction, et cetera. Can you touch on that?
Sure. I seem to take non-traditional paths for some reason, and it could be astrological or whatever, but the women who everybody needs to get their charts done. Get your astrological charts done and get readings done to assist you with to help confirm those knowings that you already have. So you have to look at your natural abilities are very important. And then when you, and then you're able to make decisions off of that. And you'll know how you naturally flow. So with women, you know, and restoration, we've got to get back into that technology. We, when you, you know, when you look outside and you see yourself and, I mean, not yourself, you see the houses and the buildings and the cars and the streets and the lampposts and the, all those things that always go on, the stability, you know, economic stability are areas you also need to look at as you're looking at your chart. How do I fit in there? You know, very important. And then, of course, we know that, you know, the things that we can't see, like medicine and the sciences, and we can see them, but, you know, they don't stick out like a car or a building or whatever. Those, of course, we need to get back into, even, you know, really veterinarian medicine, too, because veterinarian medicine is a very advanced form of medicine. And it is so advanced because it's dealt with the natural, holistic healing of the animals. You know, when on the farms, they need their animals well right now, not later, not get go get chemotherapy and, you know, all this other stuff that's going to take a long time. They need their animals well right now because they have either a job to do or they're about to be somebody's dinner or whatever. But looking at it not from an eating standpoint, but as building that relationship back with women and animals, you know, men and animals. So women need to get back into those professions as well. Art is another one. There are a lot of people who are artists, and I was a stick figure person. That was another reason why I was kind of reluctant to get into architecture, because I knew that I would have to draw, and I had been drawing stick figure people all my life, didn't know anything about drawing. But there are people who are natural artists, that are women that don't have an opportunity or don't find the courage to pursue art. And you know, when you go into the museums, a lot of the artists are male. When you see a lot of the exhibitions, and women, you know, women artists really, so the reason I'm saying getting into art, so that you can open up art museums, you know, and provide spaces for women to do their art, you know, which is one of the things that I plan on doing with the museum that I'm doing. So, and of course, you know, anything dealing with the computer, you know, that technology. But, you know, the one technology that women need to develop is their psychic technology, that inner technology.
That's
very important. Huh?
I agree with that.
What did you say? Yeah, that one there, yeah, and that dream technology needs to be sharpened. We need to get back to those things that were in the mystery systems and practice them. Very important. That dream analysis is something else. You know? So that, you know, anything that we traditionally were geared away from, you know, because, okay, so let me go back just a little bit. So dealing with architecture, you've got the pottery, you've got the sculptures, and all of that. So it also was a great outlet for women to make a living and provide for their families and bring those wares to the first market, that first Wall Street, that first market that we were responsible for. So we still have those abilities. And now when you look at that textile industry and you see, you know, rugs coming out and sheets and tiles and this and that, and where are we? Where are we? So anything that you want to do as it relates to the arts is, you know, we, and that creative ability, we need to tap back into that. Very important. And of course, we still need to be teachers and nurses and in the healthcare profession, which is still nurses, but we still need to be in those professions. When we think about being a nurse, sometimes we are choosing being a nurse because we're afraid to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, are you a person that, you know, you're into astrology, you know, or are you supposed to be an astronomer? We have to step up.
Yeah, a lot of times women limit themselves because the field has been seen as male-dominated, or, you know, women shouldn't be in that field. And to me, if a person has a natural inclination, they're naturally interested or inquisitive, curious about any particular thing, or that thing that you are curious about makes you happy, go into that. Don't just go to school or learn things because other people want you to. We have to get to a point where we're in fields because we enjoy those things that we do.
Yes. Yes. And that's part of collecting yourself, you know, doing that internal work that you need to do on yourself so that you can feel empowered to make the choices to go out there and pursue those non-traditional careers. Your trade is your wealth, you know. And so we are, you know, a lot of us are rearing children. And that was another reason how I ended up in architecture, because I wanted to hand my son a trade. And I had to be honest with myself, you know, which one am I going to do? Am I going to do carpentry? You know, there are a lot of women in carpentry. These days in St. Louis, anyway, women are becoming, there are a lot of women going to carpentry school. And, you know, did I really want to do that? You know, I talked to a carpenter, you know, he knew what was going on with me, you know, and he was, you know, we have to consider age has a lot to do with some of the decisions that you make. You know, are you young enough to swing a hammer every day? Or shoot that gun, you know, that nail gun. But we need to dream a bigger dream, you know, see ourselves doing everything that there is to do. And pursue it with courage.
Okay, it looks like we have a hand up in the chat room. So I'm going to check that caller. Before I do, let me give the call-in number. Our call-in number is 646-716-7675. Please call in if you have a comment or question about today's guest and the information that we're speaking about. Caller from area code 252, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Peace. My name is Rick, calling from North Carolina.
Peace, Rick.
What's up, Rick?
What's up? Okay. You know, a lot of people are very unaware of, like, the divine geometry in terms of how, like, cities are built or certain structures. Is there, you know, because I was trying to allude to that in a question that I put into the chat room.
Right.
You know, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand that a lot of these structures are older than what they actually seem, and they put other structures because the symmetry in terms of the positioning of the moon and, you know, the sacredness of that particular structure, there's a energy and a power that can be drawn from that regardless of what they put on top of it. And, you know, some of these people understood that. Can you go into that a little bit?
Okay, so your question really is you're asking about sacred geometry and buildings?
Yes.
Okay. So a lot, the sacred geometry, the mandalas is we're calling them now, and they correspond to energy centers on your body. So the structure has a divine vibration, and that divine vibration opens up or partners with your divine vibration. And depending on what you're trying to accomplish and what era you're in, you're going to be looking at different mandalas. And so it kind of depends on which energy you're wanting to bring forth and channel. You know, are you wanting to do a Venus energy? You know, are you going to work with Venus right now? Is your building a Venus building? Is it a Jupiter building? You know, is it big time? What are you after? Expansion? What are you after? And so this is a lifelong study. You know, there are maybe somebody out there who knows more about this. What I know is how it corresponds to the body. and how it works with the vibration of the body. You want more?
Give it. Give everything that you can give. I know some of this stuff really isn't for, you know, the telephone. You know, it's, I try to tell people that, you know, there are things that you're going to have to really take a look at, because, you know, there is a power behind it. And depending upon, it's just like, you know, there are certain houses numerically that you should stay away from, and that they're specifically designed for once you come through that portal to drain you of a lot of power. You know, there's certain phone numbers you shouldn't. Yes.
That's why I was telling people they need to get their chart done, because when you get your chart, a Vedic chart done, you're going to find out, see, everybody's different. Everybody's body is different. You're going to find out what's for you. And what's for you in your path, and that's even with anything, even, you know, the conversation here, you know, we're talking about my path. It may not be the path for another person. They may have a totally different path. You know, so, but these, you know, these, the energy is what we're talking about. The energy and how symbols transmit information and energy. So you can study mandalas, and you can study chakras or chakras, some people pronounce it, and really, you know, come to a better understanding. You can study the star system and understand how the star system also is a vehicle to channel energy into specific buildings. Also, you know, there are certain symbols and shapes as well. And you're right. Rick, there are a lot of things that should be spoken out loud. Some, like my son's father used to say, some things are to be showed, not told. And it's the same with your research. You know, your research is personal, and but those buildings, those, that sacred geometry is extremely important. And I think I was trying to show that a little bit on the poster that I did in my capstone that Seek Wisdom was talking about, because it all still relates back to the physical body.
Right.
It's all about the physical vehicle. And that spiritual vehicle, the spiritual vehicles that are in-housed within and without.
All right. Did you have another question, Rick?
Nope.
All right.
Peace.
Thank you for calling in with your question.
Thank you, Lee.
I just was listening in, but I thank you for having this today. I wanted to know more about getting readings or Vedic chart readings, because is it the same thing as getting a psychic reading or someone from like the Yoruba tradition or Ifa? Because I'm new to all of this, and I had a reading a couple of years ago, but I feel that I need another one. So could we go?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What type of reading did you have?
It was somebody from Ifa. I think it was a priestess from Ifa that I was recommending to. Hello?
Okay, I'm here. I thought the young lady was still speaking.
Oh, no, I said it was a priestess from Ifa.
Okay, so the readings are different. There are different types of readings. You have the reading that you received. You have some people who can intuit or have clairvoyance, clairaudience. Those are different. Those are psychic readings. Then you have tarot readings, which you use your intuition. A person uses their intuition and the symbols on the cards to give a response to the question. There's so many different types of readings. If you're wanting to get an astrological reading, You can I perform astrological readings. There are many people online that perform astrological readings. I also do tarot readings, and there are many people that do those as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, and let's see here. Just in case someone did need a reading, Sarood, I know you do wonderful readings. Could you give your email address in case someone needs to get in contact with you for that person?
Okay.
Or have a comment or
and let me,
questions about anything?
Sure, and let me clarify. I do Western astrology. I don't have astrology. That's predictive astrology. If you're looking for that, that you can check with jamesbraha.com or search Google. My email is serud@hotmail.com.
And
then
you,
I can.
Can you repeat what you said again about which astrology you do and which one is predictable? Because I don't know if everyone heard you clearly.
Okay. I do Western astrology, which deals with the personality, dealing with your person, your physical body, your mental body, your spiritual body. Vedic astrology is predictive astrology. It's more of a practicality astrology. It deals with your where you're going, where you came from, what's coming up next for you, which areas in my life am I in at this moment, which flow naturally, which ones will be flowing better later. That's predictive astrology. And I use jamesbraha.com for that. But there are many other people out there. Yale also does readings, astrology readings on the Western side. She's another person.
Yes,
but there are many people.
There is another sister that does Vedic astrology readings as well, too. If anyone's interested in that, they can always email me and I can refer. But the astrology reading that Sarood did for me, I can only speak for what she did for me, was very on point and gave me a lot of good insight as to, you know, things that may be coming up and decisions that I'm in the process of making, so I will say that.
Thank you. I love doing readings. I've been doing readings since about 10 years now, tarot readings. And then I've been doing astrology a little longer, but the more in-depth astrology, about 10 years.
Okay. And let me see here. We have one other caller. Let me see if that caller had any questions before I get into the rest of mine. Area code 732, did you have a comment? Well, let us know who you are and where you're calling from. Area code 732.
Oh, hey, sorry. This is Yami from Tampa. I'm just listening. I just came late, so I really missed like the beginning. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. But
okay.
I'm just listening.
All right, well, just press 1 if you have a comment or question later.
Okay.
And thank you for listening. All right. Okay. Well, I wanted to know for you, what message or what would you like to say to the people who are new to goddess study or to young sisters, you know, trying to find themselves, period? What information would you like to tell them, you know, just anything you want to say to the women out there?
To get some life coaching, that's a great start. A lot of times, because of whatever age you are, you'll be going through a lot of different challenges in your life and, you know, positive things in your life. And when you have challenges, sometimes you need a coach to assist you with those challenges. You need to, you know, as women, we need to look at ourselves very closely and do some work on our inner person. So life coaching is one of those things. I always mention Phoenix Seminars. There's another one called Landmark. But if you are not able to do those at the time, you can use Louise Hay books. You know, you can Heal Your Life or Tapping the Power Within by Elanya Van Zandt. Or there's so many books that deal with your personality, you know, your behavior and things like that. Then another thing is to study and tap into your African traditional religions that are out there. They have a wealth of information that you will not find, you know. Their traditions are steeped in our history and culture. Very important to connect that way if that's your path. Then, of course, look at the study of woman globally. Don't just look at her in Africa, especially if you understand that all the continents were connected at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so looking at those, the earliest, you know, searching back for the earliest records of woman and what she is and what you are, gives you a better picture of who you are today versus the one that you've been told you are today. Important for role modeling, you know, how you can, you know, come to understand your role as a woman. We have to broaden our vision of what we are and regain a vision of who we can be so that we can be that. We are in transition right now. A lot of change is taking place on the planet. If everybody's eye is on the planet. This is one of the, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, just me or, you know, everybody is tuned in. You know, years ago, people weren't that tuned in. They were tuned in a little bit, but today people are really informed, and I know it has a lot to do with the internet. So there's a wealth of information out there. Everybody, everything is speeding up so fast. And information is, you know, it's changing, you know, that's changing every branch of study because everything is right now. You know, when I first started architecture school and the instructor would ask us a question and give us something to go and research in the library and come back and bring it the next day for extra credit, to, you know, by the time I left 4 years later, she couldn't do that anymore because the minute she'd say that, you'd hit your, because your laptop is sitting right in front of you in class, you got the answer right there. You know, so it's reshaping education. It really is. And then learning about what divine relationships look like and how divine entities interacted with each other is very important if you are pursuing divine relationships. So understanding divine couples, whether, you know, whoever it is, Radha Krishna or Soren Asad or, you know, whoever it is, Magdalene and Jesus or Yahshua, whoever it is, it's important that you know how divine couples operated so that you can build those divine relationships. And then being, you know, when you're developing yourself, so that you can you can trust yourself with those inklings of greatness that you have within you, that you are. And so it's, you know, developing that trust and those ideas that are planted, as my son's father say, planted at your birth. Those things that need to come out that we don't need to take with us to the grave and bury. We need to open those gifts because they are presents, and presents are to be opened and unwrapped and used. And you need courage to do that. And as women, you know, it's been, you know, it's an interesting road. You know, today we have more women who have a lot of courage, and some of the things that they have courage to do, you may not admire or honor, but you know their courage or will is there. It just needs to be channeled in the right direction. Then the other thing about the women is your responsibility to the children that are coming up, since we know that, you know, a lot of us are raising these children alone sometimes, then we have, it's our responsibility. I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
No, I was listening.
Oh, I thought I kept hearing you saying something. Okay. So the children, you know, we know the children are our future, and, you know, them being, are you talking?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, so somebody else is talking then.
Hmm.
Well, maybe it's just on my line. Okay. So, yes, the children, you know, teaching them what it means, you know, about the elements and nature, very important for them to develop their relationship with the stones and the rocks and the and their nature. So teaching children about their sacred selves and how to meditate and how to tune in and how to see auras and, you know, just those things, they're fun, but they take you to a different level of trusting and knowing that so that you can rely on yourself to make really good decisions, you know, in the future. And then, like I said, study the traditions that still have woman in her divinity intact. Study those. Not that you're trying to mimic those traditions or become a part of those traditions, but you need to see the full picture of woman in her glory, and because that's an aspect that she also has a grieving aspect, and, you know, or an aspect where she has been oppressed, but it still shapes who woman is. We have a lot of sacred science masters out there that women are raising right now, and so we need to impart that information to those children. The other thing I would teach, but ask the women to do is to learn the I Ching. Some people call it the I Ching. Learning that form of divination to confirm what you know to be true for yourself. If you, you know, want to get confirmation, that was one of the things that Yele taught me years ago. And once she taught me, because our brother tried to teach it to me around 98 or 99, and I don't know why I wasn't open at the time. And around 2000, when she brought it in and was telling me about it, you know, that I should try it. I've been reading about it for a long time, but I just hadn't tried it. And then once I learned, wow, you know, to have an opportunity to sit in, you know, in front of the Savior, questions answered or confirmed, is really powerful for you, especially when what you're reading is already in your knowing. Very important. And then we know that that comes out of matriarchy societies as well. Another thing that women can do is to ask other women and men to critique them. Ask someone to tell you what your strengths and weaknesses are, and for them to be honest with you, because we have a lot to learn from how other people perceive us, in a way, you know, to see, is that, are you putting out there what you want to put out there? You know, it's a way of checking yourself, because, you know, we lean to our own understanding, and then, you know, sometimes those people that you really respect, you can also get a lot from them as far as what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then, if it is your path, only if it is your path, and that's where readings and getting involved with, you know, meeting African traditional religious people can do readings for you to help you with your person. If you are attracted to astrology or gematria or any forms of divination, then you need to take that up if that is something that you're compelled to do, because everybody has a personal path. But learning our sciences is very important. Study electricity, because we are electrical and we are water and, you know, all those things. Very important, I think, for the women who are getting into it. And then, you know, and even after you make a decision and pursue something, don't think that you only have to pursue and master one thing. If you're lucky, you have time to study other areas as well. We know that the world is transitioning and, you know, really becoming, you know, we all have our divine contract of why we're here. And when you do your personal work, you're going to find your divine contract. It is a walk, and it takes patience and dedication to yourself. And you are responsible for setting the stage for yourself, for that drama that you're creating. We're all the main stars in our own drama. So learning who you are and developing yourself to your highest potential that matches your higher self is important. there's a sister out there that does a lot of work with your higher self. And people know her by Lady Phoenix, and she goes by Calarius now. She does.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
She is in the chat room now. Goddess Roundtable.
Ah! Is she? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Now I gotta look in the chat room.
Uh-huh. She is in the chat room. And
okay.
Definitely. Go ahead and speak on Lady Phoenix again, because, I mean, she's
a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there are some sacred sisters out there, you know, Tara, you know, that run with you.
Yes.
And
I love to get surrounded with all of these sisters that have this powerful information, you know, in terms of, you know, going inside and revealing those things that are within each of us, in addition to the historical perspective, the spiritual, and the goddess perspective. So it's just wonderful to have those powerful black women that can share that information.
Right. So, Lady Phoenix, Calarius, you know, this sister is she's a healer, and she has ability to, she has developed her talents. She has really developed her talents when it comes to those ancient cosmologies. And so she, I think her website is eternalqueen.com. Queen is spelled K-W-E-E-N, eternalqueen.com. Check her out. Check out what she's doing, and she offers a lot of services that you can partake in. I really, what's up, Sha Bless? I see you in the chat room.
Just seen her pieces.
So, Lady Phoenix, she has a wealth of information to share with us and really guiding us. She's one of those sisters who's a great guide if she is on your path. Everybody will find who they need. And she has been wonderful for helping a lot of sisters and men, brothers, attach or understand how to connect with their higher selves and their super soul. And, you know, so check her out. And, you know, then we got, you know, okay, so Sha Bless just got on the line, right? So Sha Bless, I hope she calls in. So Sha Bless is, she's on a totally, you know, even though she may not be doing a lot of it right now, she has a very sacred mission as a musical divine artist, you know. And we need some music out there for the divine feminine. Any writers out there, we need some good music to listen to stay steeped and imbued in this love, you know, because the that ties back to the first, you know, ways that, you know, scripture was taught through song. You know, song was invented to share divine cosmology. And so that's how it was used before, you know, we started, you know, the path we're on now with the music. But, you know, it's a very divine purpose in our lives, and it shapes our etheric body, this music, this divine music, you know. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Sha Bless is going to be spitting out in the future with that divine music. You know, I got to throw a shout out to my son's father, Osiris Star God, in his musical career as well. You know, these people who are pioneers, you know, they're coming from that flavor of that Sun Ra way back in the day that was spitting that cosmologic science, you know, in the music. We need that, and that's what the children, they're tired of hearing about butts and ass. They're really sick of it.
They want
more.
Right.
Huh?
I said they could find that type of music anywhere, and that's why we could say that conversation for another day, but yes, the music with the information is what the youth is really looking for.
Yeah. And it helps to shape us, because we know that, you know, when a song hits the airwaves and we hear it, We can, it automatically transports us to a time in our life. You know who you do it, did it with, when, where, and how. You know, suppose those songs will tap us into, you know, that last birth, before this birth, wake up something in the super soul. We don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that it's important that we hear in vibration with vibration, you know.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you, I have two more questions,
Okay.
All right. Now, I want you to touch on how long, again, have you been in the goddess tradition, or, you know, whether it's research and, you know, what have you. How long, because I know you've been in here in this for a minute, and the question I'm about to ask is based on your answer. So exactly how long have you been doing this research and into this tradition and this way of life, if you will?
I would say, because it's such a blend, it blended with my African studies is where it started. I started that in 1985. But I really started getting, I would say around 1990 is when I started getting inklings that this is the direction, you know, when I started, you know, really pursuing health, because that's the technology that the goddess was offering me at the time.
So
and
coming up on 21 years almost.
Let's see, yeah, if you want to say that, yes.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked you that, look, don't go there. The reason I asked you that is because from your perspective and you being in this for that length of time, how has the goddess movement grown? How has it grown? And I'm expecting that within the past 3 to 4 years, it's starting to pick up real fast. Can you touch on that and talk about that a bit?
Yes. It, you know, one of the things about the goddess path that most people know is it's a lonely path. And it, you know, it used to be, I could say it used to be a lonely path. You start off by yourself. Most people start off by themselves.
Yes.
The there has been a lot of, we've got a lot of scholars out there that shared with us that we were in that our indigenous people were matriarchal. And we, wherever you pick that up in your life is where you get, once you realize that those indigenous cultures were matriarchal or steeped in goddess principle or feminine principles, because they didn't really use the word goddess like that. But steeped in those principles. So there's been a huge, like, okay, so like in the 90s with me, it was more, I could study it under health, you know, and I would deal with the deities, you know, dealing with health. So you would run into people at health fairs and health conferences and things like that where, you know, then the goddess would come up, you know. So you, that's how you see it. There are so many levels. That's how you see it kind of morphing. Now, today, we see, you know, I'm skipping, but I'm going to go back. But today we see the goddess coming out in architecture with the green movement. You know, we're going back to these indigenous practices that we did a long time ago that we're calling new. So, you know, that's how you run into her, you know, in that respect. The, as you go through this with my 21 years of learning about her, over the last, you're right, Tara, over the last 4 to 5 years, there has been an explosion, and it is due to the Internet. I remember when the Internet was no pictures and just words, and then, you know, it was just like reading a newspaper almost, you know. But anyway, that the technology has changed, and when images started coming on board, that's when things started to explode with goddess, when the images became available online. Because otherwise you had to find it in the images in a book. So a lot of us were using the images out of the book. But when the books and the images came online is when you started to see the explosion. I remember years ago in the 90s I had this website out, and it had all this, you know, you click on it, you know, it was day of the week. And, you know, I mean, I was just in my time of putting all the technology together with the days of the week and the, you know, the which planet was governing this and that, you know, that whole side. And so I had this website out there, and, you know, with all this information, it was just words, you know, just words. We couldn't even put images up. But now with the images, you know, I'm a, because I'm double Venus, you know, I love beauty, and most of the images are very beautiful. And so, you know, you get an opportunity to see the craftsmanship. I deal in stone images mostly. I want to say that when you're looking at images, but anyway, that's not your question. Your question is about, you know, the changes. So technology is pushing the movement now. Technology is pushing the movement. And you have to still be in control of how you're moving. You know, you still have to be guided by spirit, you know, because a lot of times if a person is not ready for this particular information, they're not going to take to it anyway. Even if it's all in front of them and all around them, they're just not going to take to them.
Right.
So your internal knowing is what's going to guide you. And then, of course, with the Internet, there's going to be a plethora. You know, think about all the sites. You know, I remember you contacting me a couple years ago, and Kenneth with, I mean, Kenneth, no, Kendra with Goddess Networks, you know, different people, you know, some years ago. With, it was right now, at that time, I think people was attracted to my profile because I was an image hog, and I love putting up images of women and their divinity. In stone, not a lot of paintings, but in stone, you know. Like Earth, Wind, and Fire said, the truth is in stone.
Indeed.
You can paint anything.
Fire, yes.
You know, so, you know, they were trying to transmit that information to us, and a lot of us got that information. When you grow up listening to them, and it, my son, you know, he's growing up listening to them because he got to hear what mommy's listening to. You know, but it's, you know, that sacred music is very important, very important. So the movement of Goddess has really taken off, and then we are supported in our endeavor with all the books and resources that we have at our disposal. Every day I find a new book. Every day. But I'm at a point now in my journey. And it's sad because I love learning, I love reading, but I'm at a point now where I am wanting to do more practicality again. I used to be a little more practical, and when I got in school, I got away from my practicality with my spirituality. So I'm looking forward to getting back into that and really spend more time in nature, way more time in nature.
Okay, well, we have, before we go any further, we have about 7 minutes remaining. Our call-in number is 646-716-7675. And, of course, that's just 7, that sacred number.
Right.
One of the sacred numbers, anyway. We have a special caller on the line for you. Area code 816, could you let us know who you are?
Peace, God. What's up? It's your girl, Shop Bless. I'm in the building.
These guys. I love when you say world.
These guys. Hey, young world, the world is yours. That's what's up. How y'all doing?
Good.
Wonderful. How you doing?
Community,
yeah.
My friend, my sister.
Yes.
Why you gotta call the sister out like that? Like that? Why you gotta do that to us?
You know what it is. I'm looking forward to, you know, your music, because I love music. You know I'm double Venus. You know how it is. And when I heard Fight Back, I started I had everybody listen to this. I said, yeah, I got who this supposed to hear. And then, wait a minute, and then, okay, so the other day you and I were talking on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Sha. And We hook up on her website, which she shoots me stuff. Like everybody, Tara, we all shoot each other information, right?
Right.
So Shabless shoots me her website, right? And I started to go through her songs, and I said, wait a minute, you just shoot your wife? Now, that just floored me, because I have been looking for the artist of that song for a while. Because
right.
I was, it was, it's, Yeah, it's such a snazzy tune. It's just hot, you know, it's just hot. And when I first heard it on somebody's show, I was like, wow, that is awesome.
Wait a minute, how does Ancient Ways go? Because I know this is not the song I like, and I didn't know she did it. Wait a minute.
Yes, it is.
Which
take
song?
Me back. No, no, hit it for a shot.
That take me, that one.
Yep.
Okay,
that was funny.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Saru, I wanted to say, first of all, I wanted to say, to let everybody know out there, congratulations to Saru. She has graduated school. She is an architect. I know you all know this. I'm late. I'm coming in the room like the last 15 minutes. But that is like so spectacular. That is so,
yes.
I mean, that's so rare that a sister went through it and she made it happen. Now, you're in line. You're such a great inspiration for other women out there to break in and break those glass ceilings down into those industries and those fields that women are rarely in, especially black women. So I tip my hat to you, my sister, and I love what you're doing, and I know you're going to make a huge impact on this industry. Cute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you as well with that music.
You know, the thing is with the music is I'm going to be honest, I lost inspiration because there's no soul in the music these days. You know, so I haven't found any producers that can bring that soul, you know. And I have people trying to send me tracks, but it sound like Lil Wayne and Drake, and I'm like, do I sound like I want to do something like that? I mean, that's not really what I'm feeling, you know. You got to reach in your heart. Stop making music with your head and start making music with your heart and soul again. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
That's what I'm looking for. I mean, there's producers out there that have some nice soulful, some tracks that you could feel, like you said, some of that Marvin. Put that Marvin back in the music, and we could do something. But other than that, you know, I'd rather not do it if it doesn't have soul in it. That's all.
Oh, I agree. And that's, you know, that's why I'm excited about your music, because, you know, you have the opportunity to, you know, partner with some people who are writing those types of music. Maybe we ought to hook you up with Chico the Bard, because he definitely got that Marvin thing going on.
You know Chico?
We'll talk about that later.
All right, hold on. We have another caller, y'all, that I want to put on before we got 2 minutes remaining. Let's see. It's a very, very
special. 2 to 9, we could go on forever.
Is Miss Calarious Lady Phoenix.
Hello.
What's up,
hello.
Lady? What's up?
Yes.
What's up, Lady Phoenix?
Hey. Blessings, everybody. I just wanted to call in because, you know, I love my sister, Mommy Sarud, and everybody on here doing it. I love it when everybody's dropping that knowledge that I was saying in the chat. I say, yo, Sarud played a major important part of my growth. And with everything that she was sharing, and I don't know if she knows this, but she really, really did. And I don't think I'd be where I am if she wasn't out there doing the work. So I want to give thanks for her today, for her presence.
Thank you.
And
yeah,
now we've got so much of it.
Thank you. Well, you inspire me too, honey.
Thank you. Thank you. I know the show's almost over. I just want to call in and say that bit.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who has called in, everyone who is listening, everyone in the chat room, our family that's listening on Facebook. Make sure that you visit us for the sisters who are interested in really studying Goddess, not playing around with it, but studying Goddess and going inside of yourself and knowing yourself and studying some of these other sacred mysteries. Come visit us at the temple, which is blackwomaniverse.com. And for anyone else who just wants some general information, you can visit us on blackwomaniverse.webs.com. All right. We have about a little less than 1 minute remaining. So in the live stream, I do have one other question that I would like input from both of the sisters who are still on the line. I guess since Saru's the guest, we'll start with her first. But this question applies to Sha Bless and you, Saru, and I guess I'll put my 2 cents in there as well. How does the black woman find herself in all that is going on, from the black conscious to the body? Where is the balance?
And I'm just speaking about for the black woman. I'm not talking about for anybody else. I'm talking about us. How do we
Where did she find?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just courage. You know already. You know, we are just reconnecting what we know. We every time you find something, you hear this out of every sister's mouth. I already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. I just need somebody to confirm it for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So trusting yourself. That's where you start. Trusting yourself is a part of finding your place. And then doing that work, that internal work that's necessary for you to look at yourself, you know, really look at yourself. How are you? What's working for yourself, keep it. What's not working, discard it. Enhance what's working for you. Whatever that may be, and judgments attached to it. That's the other thing. You know, we got to get a little past the judgments. But I'm going to let Shah Bless give her 2 cents, and then you, Tara.
I agree with you 100%. I was just going to get a little bit more raw with it, but in your damn self, you know, that's where you find your balance. You know, in yourself. Because every time I go to try to find it outside of myself, I wind up, my scales are tipped even more, you know. So you got to find your balance within yourself. And you know what works for you, like what you said, Saru. Like, I knew that. Like, you know, that intuition, that women's intuition,
mm-hmm.
or that black woman's intuition, that melanin-dominated intuition that just aligned with the universe because you're familiar. You've been there. You've done that. It's in your DNA, so you just really got to trust yourself.
Indeed. Well, y'all already know probably what my answer is going to be, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. The balance between black conscious and goddess movement or tradition or way of life, plain and simple, black woman, it's all about you. It's always been about you. Everything has come from you and everything goes back to you when it ceases to exist in the physical. So the way
That's
you
right.
can find yourself is to, as Shah Bless and Saru said, go within, you know, go within, trust your instincts, link up to that Akashic record and download that information. It's all there.
Right.
No one needs to verify you. You know, you tap into all of that information and process yourself. Meditate, you know, have some peaceful and some quiet time to yourself. Some of the books help you to re or remember some of the information that has always been living in you. And just as the two sisters previously said, a lot of this stuff you go, I already knew this.
Right.
For some reason, we have a habit of wanting to be validated by things outside of ourselves. The time frame that we're dealing with, you must go within for all of your information, everything. And it's you that needs to validate some of the information sometimes that other people are telling you because you already know.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
True that.
And then I'm going to add something. Because as you take this journey with yourself, you have to not listen always to the good opinion of good people. I've said that before.
Yes.
Because you're going to have a lot of people that's going to chime in and try to steer you away from what you know to be true for you. And you have to listen to them. They're just giving you feedback. But you don't have to take hold to it, and you surely don't have to run it over and over in your head about what they said. Leave it where it is,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, keep on working with yourself.
All right. It is.
Well, again, congratulations, Sarood. Thank you for doing what you're doing. You know, keep going with your studies. You know, of course, the sisters are here to support you with your studies and everything, and of course we're here to sit back and listen while you teach. whichever position you choose to take today or tomorrow, whether you're going to be the student
right.
or whether you're going to be the teacher or contributor, we just here. So thank you so much for doing what you have done and what you will continue to do, and thank you for being that catalyst for the sisters that you have inspired, such as myself, Shah Bless, you know, Lady Phoenix, Calarius, you know, all of the other sisters that you serve as an inspiration for. You try not to be on that pedestal, but you know we lift each other up when need be, and you are one of the sisters that have inspired a lot of us, so thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
All right.
All right, Shaw, I will catch up with you because I haven't even talked to you in a minute. So I'll try to call and catch up with you, you know, just to check on you. And, Darude, I would definitely talk to you soon. Thank you for coming once today. And anyone who hears the broadcast and you love the information that you're hearing, you are more than welcome to show support for Black Womaniverse Radio Show and for our temple. And you can send a donation through PayPal, and you can send that donation to Tara at DivineChemistry.com. Chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. Again, our website is BlackWomaniverse.com. Peace and blessings to everyone, and happy Fet Hers Day or happy Father's Day to all the Fet Hers and fathers out there.
Yeah. Oh, same with you.
Peace and love.
Peace out.
Hey, I keep.